Well, the Lord be with you. And I hope you all had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year celebrating these different holidays. And I wasn't with you all last week, but it's good to be back with you all. And with it being the first Sunday of the new year, I thought we would do something a little bit different. So this sermon is going to feel and function very differently today, and so it might be a little weird as we're kind of doing it today, but hopefully it will serve a purpose and it will be encouraging, maybe a little bit challenging, edifying for us as the body. So I'm going to ask you all to maybe be a little bit more active in your participation today. And so if you didn't see it when you walked in, we did have some loose leaf paper available in the Connect Center, and it had a little paper that said, please take one. But if you didn't get one, I want to ask and encourage you, we have some deacons that are available that can give you a piece of paper and a pen, because note-taking is going to be really important and helpful, and you're not going to be able to get and benefit as much from the message today without being able to take notes, because really a lot of this is going to be you working with the Spirit today. So I do want to encourage you, if you have a bulletin, I kind of already have it set up for you, but the only reason I want to offer that extra piece of paper is because if you write big or if you write a lot, you're going to probably run out of room on the little bulletin. But if you will just see quickly on your bulletin, if you have one, I have it organized into three columns. There's just three little squares there for you. And I'm going to kind of direct on how to maybe take notes that will be the most helpful for you as we work through this sermon in a little bit. But basically, there's going to be three columns that we'll work through today. But the purpose of this sermon is going to be to encourage us as the body of Christ to become more and more sensitive to the Spirit, to recognize that the Holy Spirit lives within us and works within our body and actually speaks to His church. And so that's what I want to do before we go into like the taking notes, and I'll kind of organize that in a second. I just want to just generally speak on that principle, is that the Spirit speaks to the church. If you are a part of the church, that means that you should be actively, eagerly waiting to hear from the Spirit of God. So the first thing I want to just draw from John 14:26, it says this. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So, in this text, in the immediate context, what Jesus is doing is He is telling His disciples that He's about to go, right? He's about to die, rise, and ascend to the Father. But He is promising that He will send a helper, right? We obviously know the helper, the advocate, right? The paraclete. That is the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit, what He is going to come to do is that He's going to remind them of all of the things that He has already done and said to them, and He's going to continue to help them and teach them all of these things. And so we obviously know in the immediate context what that does is that leads to them being able to author the New Testament, right? Because as they walked, we see them write the Gospels. We see them have this revelation, be able to give information and encouragement to the churches through epistles. So we see that the New Testament came from the fact that the Holy Spirit helped, assisted, reminded the disciples to be able to record what Jesus had revealed to them, right? So we then see that in the general sense that the disciples were given this, but we also know throughout the rest of Scripture in the New Testament that the same Holy Spirit that they received has now been given to every single believer. And just like them, the Holy Spirit will also help and teach us. So the Holy Spirit has been sent to you directly and is there and is able to teach you and guide you in your life. So that's the first thing, that the Spirit has been sent to us and has been there to teach us. But then in Ephesians 6:17 it says this. It says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now that's in that text if you are familiar. That's the armor of God. You have all of these different things, right? But the one that I just wanted to draw in on for a second was the sword of the Spirit, right? The weapon that the Holy Spirit uses, do you see what it is? It's the Word of God. The Scriptures. is God's Word. That's the thing that the Holy Spirit primarily will use in our lives as we war against the enemies of darkness, as we overcome and find victory in this life. So the primary way that the Spirit will speak to His church is through His Word. So if you want to hear from the Spirit, you need to actively engage the Scriptures. That doesn't mean He doesn't speak in other ways. Of course, He can speak to your conscience, right? He can lead an impression on you. He can, do many things, right? The Spirit can speak however He wants. But the primary way that we should expect to hear His voice in the most clear, without any error, right, is going to be seeking His Word, seeking the voice of God through Scripture. So the Spirit, He authored Scripture, and it's His sword, it's His weapon that He will use and empower the church. And then the final thing that I want us to draw before we start going right into how we're going to do this today. So we have the Spirit has been sent to teach us. The primary way the Spirit speaks is through His Word. And then the final thing is the Spirit speaks to us individually and corporately. The Spirit will speak to you on an individual basis, like when you walk in your daily life as you're doing private prayer time, right? Private devotion, scripture reading, through the trials of life that you go through as an individual, there will be things that God will be speaking and teaching you directly, right? On a personal level. But one thing that we miss sometimes is there is things going on that the Spirit will actually be teaching the corporate body as well. So there's things you've maybe learned as an individual this year, right? Things that maybe God has been working on you, right? Some lessons you've learned. Well, so too should we be looking as a church to see what has He been teaching us as a corporate body of Christians, right? What has He been showing us? And so I think, how do we test that? Well, once again, we want to look to the Word. And in Revelation 2:29, it says this. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now that's a phrase, if you've read Revelation 2 and 3 before, where it's repeated 7 times to every single church, all 7 churches that are addressed in the book of Revelation. There's that common refrain that says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And so that's my challenge for us today. If it's important for every single church that John addresses, maybe it's important for us as the church too to hear that. Let us have ears to hear today. Let us be open to hear what is the Spirit saying to us, and how are we going to do that? We're going to look at what He's saying in His Word, okay? So that's kind of what I want us to do, is how can we be more sensitive to the Spirit speaking to us as a church as we now reflect on this past year. So we're going to reflect on the lessons from the Spirit this past year of 2023, and then as we look forward to 2024. And if you will recall, this past year, we have actually covered 18 books of the Bible. 17 of them in which we have completed, and if you notice, the last one there, the Gospel of Mark, is the one that we are continuously working through right now on Wednesday nights. But just in 2023, we have got to look at God's Word, the sword of the Spirit, the way that the Spirit will speak to us, encourage us, challenge us, convict us, guide us. We have been able to engage and look at and feed on this Word in all of these different ways. And if you remember, I'm sure many of you will be familiar with some of these series, right? On Sundays we did Acts, Wednesday we did Romans, Esther and Ecclesiastes were Wednesdays, the 12 minor prophets we did on Sunday together, James we just finished not that long ago, and then after James we went into the Advent season, right? So we see all of these different books. And so surely, if we are reading and studying and hearing God's Word being preached every single week, there are going to be things that the Spirit is hopefully teaching us, right? There should be lessons that He should be guiding providentially for the church to understand. And so what you notice, usually whenever I preach, right, I usually give like some takeaways or some lessons, right? Well, those are not just meant to be just arbitrary. Those are meant to be directly rooted in the text that we are studying. They are meant to be the lessons that the Spirit is wanting us to draw from what He has given us in His Word. And so what we're going to do today, and as I said, this is why note-taking is going to be so helpful, is we're actually going to go through every single sermon of 2023. Now that's going to sound like, that's crazy, that's going to take forever. But once again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on every single sermon. So this is why note-taking is important. I'm going to encourage you to start to write down, because what you're going to do is every single slide is going to be one sermon through this year. And you're going to have the points, the lessons that we've learned from that sermon. And then we're going to move on to the next one and the next one. And so what I'm going to do is ask you to write down some of these points, some of these lessons as we go through. And I'm going to be moving a little bit quick, so don't expect me to stay there forever. And if there's one that you really, really wanted to write down, you didn't get it, feel free to come talk to me. I'd be happy to give you whatever ones you want later. But here's how I want to encourage you to organize your notes. So once again, I mentioned having three columns, right? Left, middle, and right. Well, the first one, what I want you to do for the first column is I want you to write down anything that you read or hear that encourages, comforts, or excites you. So as we go through all of these things, if there's anything that you're like, that really was encouraging, that blessed me, right? Or that gives me comfort, it gives me peace, or it really excites me to maybe do something for the Lord or do something for my fellow neighbor, right? So that's the first category, anything that encourages, comforts, or excites. Then the second category, the middle column, is write down anything that challenges you, convicts you, or maybe makes you uncomfortable. You're like, maybe I'm not sure about that, or I'm not doing that very good, or I really need to work on that, right? So whatever that category may be for you. So anything that challenges, convicts, or makes you uncomfortable. And then the final category, the third column, is write down any words or themes that repeat or maybe just stand out to you. So if you just notice as we work through all of these, remember, throughout the year, if the Holy Spirit keeps saying something, right? If there's things in God's Word that continue to be a pattern, maybe that's really, really important. Maybe that's something that's standing out. So if you notice any words or themes that are repeating or standing out to you, or maybe you're just like, well, that really just stood out to me. I don't know why. I don't know how I feel about it, but it just stood out. Write it in that category. But here's my one caution. Don't write down everything, right? If you try to write down every single point, remember, most sermons have 3 points. You know, 49 sermons, right, that I preached or so this year. That's going to take up a lot of space. So don't feel like you have to write down everything. Just try to, in those categories, write down what hopefully will fit. And then the final thing, at the bottom of your paper or the bottom of your bulletin, whichever one you're writing on, just write this question. What is the Spirit saying to the church? And there might not be one specific answer. You might even think there's multiple. But maybe just let that be a guiding question for you. And you don't even have to write the answer today. Maybe this is something you want to think about a little bit more. But ask yourself, what is the Spirit maybe saying to me or saying to our church as a whole with this past year moving in to 2024? Because once again, we want to be sensitive. We want to hear what the Spirit is saying as we are working through these sermons. Because remember, I'll preach a sermon and sometimes we'll hear it on a Sunday and, you know, we'll be months down the road and people will completely forget the series or the sermon. But we want to hopefully use this as an opportunity to come back and say, what was he saying here? What is he saying continuously through his church? So that's kind of my guiding principle as we are going to do this now. And like I said, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, so I won't be moving quick. And I'm not going to teach each point because we've already done that. I might give a quick couple sentences or so on a point if it's maybe a little more vague, because now that we're not rooted in each text, you might be like a little confused on what I mean by a phrase. I might give some clarity on that. So, but before we do that, I do want to just pray real quick, a short prayer, that we would have ears to hear this morning as we work through this together. Because once again, it's only going to be as effective as you allow it to be. How well you decide to want to engage with your prayerfully listening and writing and meditating on these things. So let us pray real quick. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. And we thank you for this opportunity in this new year to gather as the body of Christ, to worship you, to commune with you, to serve you, to glorify your name. And Lord, I pray at this point we would be sensitive to your Spirit, that we would have ears actively at attention, ready to hear your instruction, to your leading, that we would yield to you, that we would be present in this moment. that this wouldn't be just another day, another sermon, but this would be a time of true reflection. And that we would hear these things that you have for us, and that we would apply them this day. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so here we go. We're going to start going through these sermons, and this is the lessons from the Spirit. And if you will recall, we began this year in the book of Acts, and obviously this is near the end of the book of Acts because we began the year before, so we were finishing the book of Acts in 2023. So we started around Acts 17, and in Acts 17, this is where we begin our journey. So the lessons from this beginning is faith in Jesus is reasonable. That means it is rational to place your faith and follow Jesus. There is no other king. That is, Jesus is the only true king. And we need to be like the Bereans. So that kind of gives you clarity of where we're at in Acts. The Bereans searched the scriptures. They had the apostle there preaching. And even though he was preaching to them, they wanted to make sure everything he was saying was true based on searching the scriptures. So remember, pastors aren't Bibles. The scripture is the scripture. So we are to search the scripture. We also see that we are to love the lost. The apostle Paul was a great example of someone going, loving the lost. And we see God is not far off. That is, he is not far away from you. He is near. He is available. And righteous judgment is coming. Christ makes us complete. That is, he makes us whole. We need to be able to listen to biblical, spiritual instruction. And our power comes from a relationship. That relationship is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our power comes from a relationship with Christ. There is no solo Christianity. That is, you cannot be a part of the body of Christ and not be a part of the body of Christ. The body is made up of many members, and we can't go solo. We can't be in isolation. We have to be within fellowship. There is no solo Christianity. We also are to preach the simple gospel. That is, we don't need to rely on an education, right, or flowery words when we're trying to convince someone to know Jesus. We can just trust in the power of the simple gospel. And we are to not delay. If there is something God is leading us, calling us to do, we must not delay. We must act. We must move as he calls. We also see that the gospel is a dangerous message, and the fact that it will threaten everything that we hold dear in our past life. He might call us to die to self, right? To bear our cross, to follow him, to give up maybe our past education, our past profession, right? Certain relationships that are hindering. So the gospel will threaten things in our lives. It's a dangerous message. We see that the world, on the other hand, is lost and confused. We see that there's tons of chaos and confusion in this world without the message of the gospel. And we see that Christ is great. Great is Jesus of the Christians, and this is emphasizing that phrase that was being used in Ephesus of the pagan gods there. We see communion is the heart of our worship. In the early church, the thing that they came to do as a priority was to go and to break bread together in worship, because they understood communion focused on who Christ is and what he did for us. Communion is the heart of our worship. And I'm thankful we as a church are able to partake of that every single week together. We are to hunger for the Word of God. Hunger for God's Word. And we see that God can turn a crisis, something that's just catastrophic, he can turn those things into comfort. God can turn a crisis into comfort. When Paul was speaking to the elders of Ephesus, he reveals to us in Scripture that every elder is a shepherd. If you are an elder of a body of Christ, that means you have a great responsibility to be a shepherd, to guide and protect the flock. Because, as we see in the second point, we are to watch out for wolves. There are false teachers. There are wolves in sheep's clothing who will go to devour and to destroy the sheep. And finally, we see that there is a blessing for those who give. Those who are true good shepherds will give themselves for their flock, whereas those who are wolves, they take. So blessed are those who give. We also see that we are to seek supernatural relationships. And this is in contrast to shallow, surface-level relationships, right? Where we see many relationships like that in the world today, right? Where basically you know their name, you maybe know their job, but you don't know very much about them. Or you know a baseball team that they like, but you don't know anything really deep. A supernatural relationship centered on Christ, empowered by the Spirit, is what we should be striving for. We also see that feelings are not facts. We cannot allow our emotions and our feelings to drive our theology and our decision making. We need to make sure that we allow truth and facts to guide us and that we check our feelings with what is true. And then ultimately we see that His will should be above our will. God's will should be above our will in our decision making. We also should go out of our way for the gospel. That is, you should go the extra mile for gospel interactions, to share Jesus with other people. Not just like, oh, well, I made a Facebook post and that's all you do, but actually go out of your way to let people know that you believe in Christ and why they should too. And many will misunderstand you. There will be times that people don't understand why you're following Jesus, why you're trying to tell them about Jesus. Many will misunderstand you. In fact, we know Christ was greatly misunderstood many times. And we need to press on in perseverance, because as you are misunderstood, sometimes that will not always go well for you, right? Sometimes you feel like you'll be mocked, you'll be maybe isolated from certain people in your community, but you got to press on in perseverance. Continue to endure. And we need to live before God with a good conscience. We need to do everything by faith, having a good conscience before the Lord. And when we find ourselves in different situations, we want to make sure that we seek to perceive with precision, or that means have good discernment. Pay attention to your surroundings and discern well. Seek the Spirit's guiding in these areas of our lives. And we need to take courage in Christ. Sometimes life's going to be hard. In those moments, that's where we need to find our courage and strength in Christ. We need to love the truth, even when it's hard sometimes. Sometimes the truth isn't always comfortable, right? We have to love the truth. We need to pursue the truth in our lives. We also need to procrastinate from procrastination. So if you're going to procrastinate about anything, let it be procrastination. We need to make sure that we, once again, don't delay, right? That we continue to move forward when God is calling or leading us to do something. And we need to forgive those who forget you. Just like we know people will misunderstand you, we also know there's going to be some people that will be there in a season in your life, will use you for a season in your life, and then they'll move on and they'll completely forget about you. Let that go. Forgive those individuals and move on. We also see that God protects His people with His providential hand. God will use His power and His providence to actually protect and preserve His people. We are also, as disciples, called to radical obedience. The thing is, the world is already radical in what they believe. The thing is, are you going to be more zealous for Christ than the world is for what they believe? We need to be radically obedient to what Christ calls us to. And almost is not enough. You don't want to be an almost believer. You don't want to be an almost disciple. Almost is not enough. Almost just means you didn't get there. We see on a message on storms whenever Paul was traveling in the ship. We see that storms are inevitable. You are going to find yourself in storms in your life. There's going to be difficulty, hardship, trials. There are storms that are inevitable. And storms, what they can do for us is they can reveal our faith. You can see how strong or how shallow your faith really is based on the storms that you encounter. And then my challenge and encouragement was for you to stay in the ship. As using that ship analogy, they were called to stay in the ship. How Christ is the ship that we must stay within during these storms, because that is where safety is found. Now this is moving into Palm Sunday. Now on Palm Sunday, we shared this message where we thought about the triumphal entry. And here we see that God gives us glimpses of heaven. We see how just like there are people worshiping with palm branches, worshiping the King of Christ and bowing down at His feet, we see it very similar to what we see in Revelation, where there's many things similar happening. We see glimpses of heaven on earth. But it's important that we recognize that the earth is nothing compared to eternity. The things that we have on this earth will never compare to what God has for us in His kingdom. And finally, what our goal then, as we wait for Christ to return, is we are to make the earth more like heaven. We should be praying that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This was Easter Sunday. It says, recognize that Jesus is alive and present in our lives. Remember, this was the road to Emmaus where Jesus appeared to them and they didn't even recognize that Jesus was alive and walking with them. Jesus is alive and present in our lives. Jesus can also turn our sorrow to joy. And then we are to go and tell others that Jesus is risen. When you have this reality that He's alive, that He's present, and that He offers joy, what better way can we do is go and tell others that He also is risen. We see God protects and provides for His people. We are bound to boldly proclaim Jesus. And we are to finish the race of faith. This is the end of the series of Acts. And if you recall, this is where Paul was finishing, continuously preaching the gospel. Even after everything he's gone through, he continues to finish the race. And we really saw him as a marathoner and reminding us that the Christian faith is not a sprint. It's a marathon. So we need to finish the race of faith well. This leads us into now the minor prophets, if you'll remember. So we're beginning here with the lessons of Hosea, and then each next slide will be a different minor prophet. The first one in Hosea is sin is spiritual adultery. When we commit sin, we're actually committing spiritual adultery against God. But even though we sin against God, God's love is limitless. There's always God's love. His grace is always still there. It's always available. And He will redeem those who return. So all you have to do then is return to Him, and you can experience that love. He will redeem those who return. We also must prepare for judgment. Judgment is coming to the world. Universally, judgment is coming. And we need to rend our hearts, not our garments. We want to make sure that we actually are broken and repentant of our sins, right? And we need to hope in the promise of Zion, right? Where God, His kingdom, His people will all be made one and unified and perfected. We want to hope in Zion. We also see that God abhors injustice. He hates when people take advantage of others, right? Where we see classism, racism, different things. God abhors injustice. And we see that the justified, those who are declared righteous, they pursue justice. Those who have been declared righteous pursue justice. And then the judge will bring justice to all. He'll make sure that everything is sorted out in the end. We see human beings are inherently prideful. That's a default where we become prideful or proud, right? Boastful in our own lives, our own works, our own intellect. But we see that the downfall of the proud is inevitable. Right? Just like storms are inevitable, so is the downfall of those who are proud. And we see that actually with the Edomites. For the Edomites, they were proud, and then we saw the great fall. But the humble will be exalted. That's a promise that God makes. The humble will be exalted. We see sinners deserve death. If you have committed a sin, you deserve death. That means I deserve death. You deserve death. But that's why we glory in the gospel, that Christ died in our place. Faith is foolishness to the foolish. Faith, the Christian faith, will appear foolish to those who are truly foolish. There's only one way of salvation, and that is found in the Lord. This is in the prophet Jonah. Disobedience takes us on a downward path. You just remember Jonah, every time he would disobey, run away from God, he just gets lower and lower and lower, until eventually he's in the belly of a great fish, and then he's at the bottom of the ocean, right? You can't get much lower than that. He's in the pit, right? Disobedience takes us on a downward path. Pray when you are in the pit. That's what Jonah did. When he was in the pit of Sheol, he was praying to the Lord. And we see that whenever he was with God, when he experienced God's presence, there was power, because he was able to preach a powerful sermon and the nation repented. His presence gives us power. And then ultimately, we see that we are to choose compassion over comfort. That was a lesson Jonah was learning, that he kept choosing his own comfort, his own preferences, and he needed to have compassion for the nations, because we saw that Nineveh needed salvation. This is Micah. We need to hear the voice of God. This is really similar to the theme of this message, the Spirit speaks. Hear the voice of God. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Our confidence is in the character of God. We can have faith, we can have confidence in God, because we know who our God is. We need to break the cycle of sin in our lives. Is there a sin that you need to break? Stop going back into that same pattern. Break the cycle of sin. God is our comfort in the chaos. And beautiful feet bear good news. God sympathizes with our suffering. We have a Savior that can sympathize with us in our despair, in our sufferings, because Christ suffered. The just are to live by faith. And strength can actually be found in our times of suffering. We need to harmonize with the holiness of God. So we don't just take the love passages of Jesus and the love passages of God. We also must recognize that he's loving and holy, a God that will also demonstrate wrath at times. So we need to harmonize with the holiness of God. We need to seek the Lord with sincerity, with a true heart. And we see that God rejoices over the remnant. That is, those who trust and depend on him. It actually says that he sings over them. He rejoices over them with singing. That's Zephaniah. We need to prioritize kingdom purposes. Seek first the kingdom of God. We need to work without wavering. So that's an enduring statement there. To continue to persevere. Continue to work. And we need to bask in the blessings of God. Enjoy the good things that God has given and offered to his people. We know that God has a plan for his people. And that there is no condemnation in Christ. And Christ and his kingdom are coming. This is in Zechariah, which we see many of these messianic visions, right? And then we see Malachi, God wants our best. He doesn't want your last fruits. He doesn't want, you know, your worst possessions. He wants your very best. And everything in general belongs to God already anyway. But then ultimately through the gospel, we know that God gives us His best in giving us His Son. So God wants our best. Everything belongs to God anyway, and God gives us His best. This is in James, so we're getting closer to the end here. So hopefully if you get a little weary, you endure, persevere. James, counting all joy, right? It says, rejoice in trials. And turn your trials into triumphs. And ask for wisdom when you have trouble doing those two other things. Recognize the root of your temptation, that it's found in certain desires that you personally have. And remember the goodness of God when you feel tempted, and receive the word to overcome your temptation. We see that we shouldn't just be hearers of the word, but disciples are doers. The word reveals what is real, or that is what is true, and pure religion pleases God. Favoritism is incompatible with faith. That is treating certain groups or peoples with certain favoritism, right? Partiality, and not treating others with love and fairness and respect and righteousness. Favoritism is incompatible with the Christian faith. Small sin is still sin. Don't just think, oh, it's no big deal because it's just a little sin. Small sin is still sin. And we saw earlier, what do sinners deserve? Death. And we see that, but mercy triumphs over judgment. Even though judgment is a reality, mercy is greater, and God offers that to anyone who wants it. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We see salvation is by faith alone. If you want to be saved, you cannot work, you cannot earn, you do not deserve it. It's simply by trusting in the grace that has been provided in Jesus Christ. Salvation is by faith alone. But that faith, living true faith, is never alone. See, you're saved by faith alone, but a true faith will always manifest in good works. It will produce good fruits in your life. And ultimately, we know that because Jesus is the object of our faith. Your faith is only as good as what your faith is in. And our faith is in Christ, is in Jesus. We see this warning passage of teachers will be judged more strictly. So not everybody should strive and desire to become a teacher because teachers are going to be held accountable for what they teach. So hopefully, as we're looking at this, you're going to see what's been taught this year, right? And our words will reveal our own wisdom, right? When you hear people talk, you can usually start to discern how wise that person is, whether they keep talking, don't talk, right, and when they decide to do so. And we know that the tongue is petite, right? It's a very small member of our own bodies, but it has a very powerful impact in the way that it affects others. The wise are fools, and the fools are wise. That was a little pithy way of saying, basically, there are people who think of themselves that they're wise, but really they're foolish. And those who are fools for Christ are the ones that are the most wise, because the wisest thing you can do is be a fool, radically obedient to Christ. And we see that worldly wisdom, the things that the world thinks is important, the knowledge that they boast about, really what that will do is promote division. But we see that heavenly wisdom, that is wisdom from God, will give us peace and unity within the body of Christ. We see that friendship with the world is enmity, or that is hostility with God. There is always more grace. You're never going to exhaust the grace of God. It's always going to come from His throne. It's an unending source of grace. If you need grace, it's available. Intimacy with God is found in a spirit of submission. You want to find a deeper relationship with God? You need to cultivate a spirit of submission. The church is a place for grace. The church is a place for grace. Righteous judgment is done with charity. If there's a time where you must make a judgment of an action or an instance, make sure you always let it be done with charity. And God will have the final word. There's going to be times we don't always get it right as the church, but God will have the final word on every matter. We see that tomorrow is unknown. We cannot boast in tomorrow. We can't boast in the future. And we also see that life is a vapor, that it's here for a moment and then it's gone the next. It will pass away. It's vanity, Hevel, right? For those who studied Ecclesiastes. And the will of God is our guide. So as we walk through this unknown life that is short, let the will of God be our guide. We see that riches can lead to ruin. This is a warning not to be pursuers of materialism and wealth, right? Rather that we pursue the things of heaven. And we see that blessed are the patient, those who endure the difficulties of this life and don't get caught up with the world as they are patiently waiting, because we know that Christ is coming soon. We see that prayer should be present in all parts of our lives. Reminding of the book of James, right? If you're suffering, pray, right? And if you're rejoicing, you know, then praise, right? So basically, in all matters of life, let us pray to the Lord. And we see that a maturing community is a confessing community. The more we grow in Christ, the more we should be confessing our sins to one another, trusting in the cleansing work of Christ. And we are promised that when we pray to the Lord and when we confess our sins, we know that our God hears and our God heals. We see this warning at the end of James about how apostasy is possible. There are those who could be in the body that might wander off. But even for those who wander, we see that there's this hope that wanderers can be won back. And we should be our brother and our sister's keepers, going to them, seeking them, and trying to restore them. Because we see restoration saves the souls of sinners. This was the question about the music. If you remember, like, hip-hop or R&B, what did Jesus think, right? That was the cultural question that we did a one-off sermon on. And in this sermon, we said we are to be in the world, but not of the world, right? We can be in the world, but we shouldn't just become a product of our environment. And there are certain things in this world, these cultural practices, that we must discern between three things. We can either reject it wholesale, we can receive it, or maybe there's certain things that we can redeem within culture, right? There are things that might not be good in its entirety, but there are redeemable qualities that we can use for the glory of God. And then ultimately, we should live with conviction and charity. There's going to be times where we disagree as brothers and sisters, and we should have strong convictions on matters, but always give charity to one another on secondary matters. All right, now we're at the home stretch here, so wake up. This is the Advent season. This is where we were just at, right? And in this, the beginning of Advent, we looked at the Proto-Evangelium, and here it says, humanity has a hope. And that hope is here in Christ, and our hope will be honored in the future when he returns in his kingdom. We also saw Jesus brings joy with Mary and her encounter with Elizabeth and baby John. Jesus brings joy to those he encounters. And God has done great things. And believers then can be joy bearers because we now have the same Spirit of Christ living within us. And we know that people need peace. That word shalom, peace. And peace is not just a thing, it's a person, and that's found in the one who is in the manger. Peace is found in Christ. And we then should publish peace wherever we go. We should go and spread the news, the gospel of peace, because it's a privilege. Just like the shepherds and the angels, they were offered that opportunity to go and share the peace message. We too have that that opportunity and that privilege to go and publish peace to the world. And then we saw the final message that I shared in 2023 is Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the treasure you seek. And Jesus is worthy of our worship.